This is the regular meeting of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District Improvements Committee of April 6th. First item is comments from the public. I'll give you a few seconds here to raise your hand if you wish to make a comment at this time.
And I don't have any, no hands raised, no chats.
No hands, no chat. So we will move on to reviewing the monthly updates. Paul.
Good morning, everyone. So I will run through our monthly updates that are here in the packet as it relates to the Slough House Resource Conservation District and their groundwater sustainability plan. They're in the process of forming becoming a groundwater sustainability agency. They are continuing to work towards that effort and have last Wednesday or the Wednesday before last had a community event where they did an excellent job conveying what it is they were trying to do and explain to the community and what it is happening with the groundwater here in the state and why they were in the process of forming a groundwater sustainability agency. So that was much appreciated on behalf of the community from what I had heard and listening in on it as well. It was a really good job. As it relates to the reserve study update, we scrambled to put a lot of information together as it related to our assets and the estimated lives of those assets running through our operation and maintenance manuals for a lot of the new equipment, especially as it related to the water treatment plant expansion, and provided that information over to Association Reserves. And they have subsequently put together a draft budget. I personally haven't had time to review that. I was on vacation last week, but it is available for our review at this point. For the sodium hypochlorite conversion project.
Hey, Paul, can I interrupt for a second?
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to be very clear about the reserve study that we're in the early stages of reviewing all of our fixed assets and the replacement cycle and the cost of the fixed assets. The reserves was the number one goal for this board. And it's apparent in the fact that our Prop 218 notice included almost a doubling of the reserve contributions from our ratepayers for the next fiscal year. And we're trying diligently to confirm that the cycles of replacement, the items we're replacing, the cost of the items we're replacing, the infrastructure improvements, that we have a much better and a clear understanding of what our reserve requirements are. And it's something that I've been trying to get to for the past couple of years. I feel like we're in a good place right now. And we will be coming back to this committee in next month with our reserve report. And it will coincide with probably what will end up being quite a bit of outcry from the community about the fact that we're doubling the reserve contributions. And that's really a sign of the fact that we have not been reserving enough funds in the past few years, and we just need to get back on track. So I commend Paul with the work that he did, getting reserve associates up to speed on our equipment and our infrastructure, the listing of items. And now we just need to confirm, like I said, the cycle of replacement and the cost. So the board has a clear picture of what reserve requirements are on an every year basis for the next 5 years. And we just kind of roll that over a 30 year period. And I'm looking forward to it, but it's going to take some time. And again, we don't want to talk about staffing, but we do need to settle in and make sure we take care of identifying what our reserve requirements are, because we're going to face a lot of scrutiny from our public right now, our ratepayers, as to the rates we want to increase to meet these requirements. So that's my little speech on reserves for the morning.
Paul, could you give us maybe an example or two of the kind of information you're being requested to submit for the reserve study and how you're going about figuring out the kind of information that they're looking for?
Yes, absolutely. So they're looking for essentially all our assets that we're going to be depreciating. And that's been a major project for the district for since I've started. And so I scrambled to put together a spreadsheet where I separated our different enterprise funds for water, sewer, and drainage out that are under my purview and listed out our assets. We already have a maintenance management system in place, so we were able to export some of that data that we had entered into that maintenance management system, which is a computer system that's just really simplistic to you enter your assets and you track your maintenance schedules with those and when you've done them and when they're needed, et cetera. So we exported a lot of that data out, separated it out, as I just said, for water, sewer, drainage. Went through that as well as all the submittal information that went through for the water treatment plant expansion project and listed out all these assets individually. So an asset per the district policy, I believe, is anything over $5,000 that can be depreciated. And so we put those in with their, when they were purchased, with their purchase cost and their estimated life cycle and or estimated life of needed for maintenance. So sometimes they have maintenance schedules in there as well. So we listed it all out. For an example, you know, right now with the sodium hypochlorite project, we're putting in chemical skids. At the water treatment plant expansion project, a lot of chemical feed systems were put in. And they're very expensive chemical feed systems. So like a chemical tank over there was accounted for, you know, has a depreciated life. And it was actually kind of eye-opening for me to contact the vendors and find out what is the life cycle on some of those things. And it's a lot shorter than you would have thought because of the exposure to these chemicals that are in these tanks, even though they're built for that purpose. And so went through, listed all that out and supplied that information to Association Reserves and let them digest all that.
Let's take, for example, the new plant. Well, it's not so new anymore, but the newest of the plants. How specific do you get when you break it down into parts and the infrastructure around it seems like it would have a long life. So is it broken out separately from the parts and pieces that make it up that probably have a lesser life? Is that how it works?
To a certain extent. So we don't get in. So if I have a chemical feed skid, we don't get into the various pumps and valves and wiring and control systems that are on that chemical skid, but account for it as a whole. And we will have a little bit of maintenance within the life cycle of that, keep that within its life cycle. So we only account for it as a whole, not down to the minutiae, because of our reserve policy. We try to keep those items over 5,000 just on that list and above. And some of the items, like you say, the plant, like in the past, the district would just lump like the wastewater plant as wastewater plant. Well, there's a lot of components to the wastewater plant. And so we've tried to break that out because ideally that's what you want to do, where you have chemical tanks and piping. And as you can see with, you know, the E-Staff project that's later on in this packet, you know, there's items that are wearing out that need maintenance. So possibly replacement in the future.
Marty, any questions?
I was set in on some of those fact-finding sessions, so I knew about what some of the things that Paul had been doing. And I think there's still some information that needs to be figured out with regard to useful life on some elements, maybe not Paul's, but other ones.
Yes, and Marty's absolutely correct. So This is a monumental task that I tried to get done in a weekend. So something that would actually, to do it very well would take a very, very long time. But we gave it a 30,000 foot view and did it as best as we could within the time frame given.
Great. Okay, let's move on to projects.
So moving on to the sodium hypochlorite conversion project, we were able to fill the tanks with water and test the system out with the chemical vendor. And at that point, they pointed out that there's additional systems that should be connected up for the chemical skids that can monitor the chemical feed systems and that they should be integrated into the SCADA. So we're going to need to route some more wiring for it, but just running everything in a manual type mode, the vendor was able to set the system up and make sure it was working correctly. And then he also pointed out that we needed some back pressure valves on the system at the points of injection. So not only did we bought them for at the point of discharge from the system, but not at the point of injection. So that would be where it goes into the pipe. And so we've already ordered those items and are continuing to work on that project, but it's going very well. And on development projects for the retreats east and north, it's reported that the that project is in the process of being sold to Kahov, who was the developer for the 78 lots on the Murrieta Gardens. And so our understanding from the project is that it's in its due diligence period. And going down to the Rancho North project, the project reported that their traffic study is complete and they're continuing to work on their greenhouse gas study. And they noted that they are waiting for district comments on all of their studies. And so Tom and I followed up with that, there's some additional funding that's necessary before we proceed on it. And that the district had, when I say the district, Coastland on behalf of the district had provided comments back on the drainage for the entire Rancho North project and had not heard back from the project on those. So those have been reviewed and submitted back. And then we also reached out to Sacramento County to see where they were because we jointly review some of those things. And the county noted that the project's on hold with them currently. So Mr. Hennig had reached out to the project to let them know what's necessary to proceed further with the review of that project. Moving on to the Murrieta Marketplace, there's no update there. Legacy Villas and Suites, which was a hot topic a few months ago, still no update as it relates to that proceeding. And going to something that is potentially proceeding, the Lot 9 project, which is the Taco Bell, is reported as potentially moving forward soon. For Lot 10, the office area there, they reviewed the plans. However, signatures have not been requested or submitted yet for that project, but the project plans are essentially done for that project. On Lot 11, the plans were signed off and they anticipated beginning April 1st, but we have not heard any information as to when they're going to provide a start date. So we'll have to reach back out to them and see where they're at with that. For the Riverview project, which is the big project on the south where they're potentially be developing 140 homes, Coastland has provided review comments back. And we actually yesterday received a third submittal of their grading plans. So there's been some back and forth with Coastland as it related to their grading plans and review of those plans. And so a third submittal on those have been submitted back and Coastland will endeavor to wrap those up before their contract expires. And then Domenichelli and Associates, who are is going to be our new district engineer, they were included in on those emails as well. So they can be aware and potentially able to pick up where COSIN leaves off on any reviews. Murrieta Business Park, no update there. They're continuing to build their buildings. On the Retreats East and North, which is the project just off of De La Cruz Drive and Murrieta Parkway, adjacent to hole 18 in north and north of hole 9 in the north, actually north and south of hole 9 in the north. This project is basically reporting that they're wanting to move forward on those plans and that they're requesting that they get reapproved by Coastland Engineering and Sac Metro Fire in Sac County. And so there's some discussion as it relates to review of those plans, and no news at all on the residences of Murrieta Hills. Any questions on any of those projects?
Question for Tom, you requested additional deposit funding on Rancho North. Any indication from the developer on whether or not we're going to get that and continue, or is it definitely on hold?
It is definitely on hold. We're not going to do any work on the north, with possibly the exception of some transfer of knowledge from Coastland to Domenichelli and Associates, but specifically for the development and the developer, not until they straighten out their accounting and they put an additional deposit down. You recall there's been statements that they had paid an amount of money that should have paid for the study of their drainage, their sewer, and their water plans. And that money was spent quite some time ago. Most of it reviewing the drainage plans, most of which said they need to do a lot of work in order to make the drainage plans viable. Both from the perspective of Coastland and Paul and his group, as well as from the county. So there's a lot going on with the north, and we're not gonna commit a lot of resources to the project other than, like I say, the transfer of knowledge from one consultant to the next, contractor to the next on the project until we get more money on deposit.
Did you get an indication from the developer on where they're at and whether or not we're going to receive some more money in the near future?
No, I have not received a response to communication I sent to them, I believe, 2 weeks ago. So I'm assuming at some point they will, but I have no indication right now.
Okay, great. Any questions or comments on the monthly updates? Amelia, anything?
No hands, no chats.
All right, great. Let's move on to the Laguna Joaquin related activity.
Hey, this will be on me. I wanted to report that last week through the RMA began their process of taking on the responsibility for trying to treat the midge fly issue with the biochemical material they put into the detention basin. They did some testing. They tested 9 sites for the midge fly larvae. They stuck a little shovel-like thing down into the ground and into the silt, and they pulled it up and they analyzed how many larvae there were, and there is a lot. Surprisingly, in the middle of the basin is the highest concentration of midge fly larvae. So clearly, there's a lot in the material, in the silt, into the muck, and hopefully the RMA is successful with their treatments, with managing the cycle of the treatments, paying attention to the hatch of the mid flies and such, that they can mitigate the horrible experience we had last year The district, in the meantime, while the RMA is working on treating the water and trying to get more air into the water, the district is also working to plan on a maintenance of the detention basin. And there's, with Rancho Murrieta being in the hills, and drainage is a critical aspect of what we do. And so throughout the district, there are drainage canals and detention basins, and when necessary, Paul and his team do maintenance on these areas. And in most cases, they can dry out a canal in between some of the homes and go in there and clean it out and make sure the vegetation is correctly growing in the right places, and that takes care of it. But with Laguna Joaquin being such a large facility, it has not received any significant maintenance in the last 40 to 50 years, at least 40 years. There have been a couple instances from what I've seen where it's been drained about halfway, and at the entry levels of most of the drainage, there's two primary locations where water and material come in, that some work has been done, and in large part by the pumps over off, I can't remember the name of the street, but they're the pumps that the RMA uses to pull their landscaping water out. They built sort of a rock structure around there to keep the silt from infiltrating their pumps as much as it was happening. But other than that couple of minor, you know, maintenance issues in the past, it's never been really maintained. And so we're working with the RMA to try and set a timing where we can possibly drain it as far back as possible and go in there and remove the silt, and maybe get about a 10-year period where the midge flies are not such a big deal, and then 10 or 15 years from now, do it again. So the next step for the district is to have somebody come in and do a measurement of the amount of material that's in the bottom of the basin that if we were to dry it out, we would need to remove. And once we get a volume of material in our mind, we can start looking at, one, where to put it all, because it's hundreds of thousands of tons of material. And so we need a place to put it. And also we need to know what it's going to cost so we can look at how we're going to pay for this. Maintaining the drainage system is part of our task as a district. And if we get a chance to maintain Laguna Joaquin, it's going to be expensive, but it will have a huge impact on the community, both from an aesthetic and a livable standpoint for the people who are close to Laguna Joaquin. So that's my update. We did have a contractor lined up to do the measurement of the silt and the volume of material we have to remove. And we put that purchase on hold because the RMA has, Kevin with the RMA has stepped up and committed to making the treatments happen this summer. And hopefully that'll work. And then possibly in the later part of the summer, clearly after the 4th of July events, we're gonna investigate whether it's feasible for us to drain Laguna Joaquin, all the while maintaining the ability for the RMA to water their landscaping, as well as our requirements for delivering water through the CIA ditch to the farmers that are downstream. It's really complicated, and right now we're kind of at a pause to see what happens with the RMA's work. Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Martin. Are we doing anything to figure out if there is a solution to providing irrigation while the lake is drained?
Yes. We're looking at the water rights that are available to possibly pump water into Clementia as a holding point. And then from Clementia, we can put the water into the CIA ditch during, you know, scheduled delivery times that will allow the farmers to get their required water that they sometimes would get out of Laguna Joaquin. And the other issue is
I understand that. I'm more concerned about RMA's water.
Yeah, and we know we have an issue there. We've looked at, and I don't want to commit to anything because I don't want to commit Kevin to anything without us really understanding what we're doing. but there's the possibility of delivering recycled water for them, and that's very complicated in and of itself. So there's a lot of moving parts here. The main thing I want to be able to figure out is how much material there is to move, and the other issues are getting the RMA their water for their landscaping, as well as the farmers their water. And I know that we talked before about moving water from hooking up water from Chesboro to the RMA's watering system. And I think that lost momentum at some point from the logistical.
I can comment on that if you'd like.
Thank you.
So I followed up with another meeting with Rod Hart of RMA to further discuss what would be needed. And based on what their estimated demands are for the irrigation system, as Rod had mentioned, that irrigation system was originally designed for irrigating the North Golf Course and then was turned over to the RMA. So it's not like a normal irrigation system. It's, you know, high flow, high pressure, high volume irrigation system. And so a 6-inch line would have to be routed down from Chesboro down to Laguna Joaquin along the parkway. And Rod is looking into what the potential costs are for that. I got a budgetary cost while I was out on vacation last week for a pumping system that could be put in at Chesboro. And that budgetary cost is about 40 grand. And then the power, to be able to get power over to that pumping system, I'd estimate probably another 10, 15 grand on that. So there'd be some significant costs, but we're continuing to look into that. And then once we get that information all together, we'll try to compile it and report back to you all.
Great, thanks for the update.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul. That's it on Laguna Joaquin, unless there's questions. Amelia, are there any questions on Laguna Joaquin?
I don't have any hands raised or any chats.
So I have one question. When we clean out other drainage basins, does the cost for that come out of operating costs?
Yes.
Does it make any sense if we get the silt cleaned out of Laguna Joaquin and it has to be done again in 10 years, and I think when we look at the cost to clean that silt out of there, we're probably not going to be able to do it because the numbers are going to be so high. But I'm going in a little different direction here. Would it make any sense that in this reserve study that something's reserved for being done when we have to do this again in the future?
Yep, and that's exactly what was discussed with Association Reserves, and that is being put in there. So it is going to be accounted for something that would need to be reserved for.
And should we all, since what we're really talking about here is maintaining a drainage basin, include all of our other drainage basins that periodically need to be cleaned out?
A lot of the drainage basins are pretty small, so it doesn't have that need, that financial need like Laguna Joaquin would have. They can pretty well be done operationally. There are some that are very large as well, like there's Lost Lake on the south that's occasionally need, you know, we do a lot of maintenance there in the summertime as well, but not a wholesale cleaning out of that one. That one's actually 16 feet deep. It's pretty deep. So there's not going to be any immediate need there, but that's something to look at as well. But we had not put anything other than Laguna Joaquin and our culverts and something to be determined with this draft that we have is the cleaning of our open ditches. That was one of the things we wanted to figure out is what cycle of cost would need to be put in the reserve study for that.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Amelia?
No questions, no hands raised.
So let's move on to considering the approval for DAF painting contractor.
Yep, so the East and West DAFs, I put out a bid packet. Let me back up here. So at the wastewater reclamation plant, we have what's referred to as a DAF unit. It's a dissolved air flotation tank. And what that does is it creates micro bubbles that float the algae that's primarily in the wastewater that's been treated up to the surface where it is skimmed off prior to it flowing to sand filters where it is filtered out. And so these DAF tanks, they're just open steel tanks with a lot of steel components and rake arms that spin around. They have a lot of corrosion damage in them. And because they do have a lot of moving parts and all the oxygen that's in there along with the chlorine and aluminum sulfate create a very corrosive environment. So if there's any rubbing or scouring that occurs within the tank and those coatings get etched, they create issues for the corrosion to expand and get into the metal and cause issues. And so what we want to do is protect that steel. And as I had mentioned a couple months back, I looked at potentially replacing the system, and that's about $900,000. And so to avoid that need, we looked at what sort of rehab we can do and then coating those rehabbed items. And on a separate project, we're having some items replaced with stainless steel items. And once those get put in, this project that I put out to bid was to have specialty coatings done within the tanks, which are epoxy coatings to protect the steel components there. So put this bid packet out, went out to bid, had a mandatory site meeting, had several vendors out, and then going through the bidding process and the scoring process of the bids, Redwood Painting Company came out as the lowest cost bidder. And when I did put the bid packet out, I put it out for just the East DAF with the West DAF as a add alt to the bid, because I was concerned with potentially how much time it would take these vendors to do the work. They've all reported at the site meeting that we had that it could get done pretty quickly. And so we wouldn't potentially have any downtime as it related to producing tertiary water for the golf course needs. And so I'm requesting that we do both the East and West with this recommended action. Again, Redwood Painting Company was the lowest responsible bidder that attended the meeting, have the proper certifications, and provided all of the packet requirements. And it is at prevailing wage.
Marty?
Yeah, were the bids fairly close to each other?
Not too bad. There were 10,000 or so of each other. Yeah.
And I remember we were going to replace some parts that were severely corroded.
Yes.
Do we have the parts for both tanks?
On the East DAF, we are replacing parts within it, and that is a separate project, and we are doing that.
The other tank doesn't need it?
At this point, we're just doing a regular maintenance that we would on there, and next year we're going to replace some of the parts in there as well.
Does that affect the painting?
We'll have to coat those next year as they come in, and you can buy. We intend to buy those either powder coated or epoxy coated from the shops that we purchase them from.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. I say that we move this on to the board for vote on it, approved out of this committee. Marty, do you
I concur. Yeah.
Great. Very well, then. Any questions or comments on that, Amelia?
I have no hands raised, no comments, no chats.
Great. So we will move on to item 6 on the agenda, director and staff comments. First, anything from staff?
I have nothing at this point.
Okay.
This is Randy. Randy, I have something to talk about.
Go ahead, Tom.
Last week, Thursday and Friday, through a mutually agreed upon activity, the district and the CIA group rented a excavator, a small excavator, to do maintenance on the CIA ditch just east of the Wooden Bridge, in between the Wooden Bridge and the Granley's property. There's a wide part of the canal there that was had about close to 2 feet worth of silt that had been building up over the past, I think, about 5 years. And while they were doing that, the landowner and the golf course agreed that it was time to remove a bridge that was put over the creek as part of the trail system. And I don't know if it's part of the authorized trail system or if it just happens to be part of the trail system, but it was agreed upon to remove the bridge that was there. And this was an agreement between the golf course and the landowner of the Granley's property. And that bridge has been around for like 20 years. And at this point in time, it was agreed that it was no longer desirable to have people trespassing onto the private property, both the golf course and the private property. So that bridge was removed last week. I believe we put some tape up around it yesterday so the bike riders would know that it's not there anymore. And hopefully it can be cleaned out over the next few days. It is 100% not a district activity, but I wanted to be clear that it happened and that it was agreed upon by the primary landowners that owned the property that where the bridge was sitting and the property where the bridge would provide access. So I just wanted to make it, I just wanted to publicly let you know that that happened and that it is not a district issue. It's, but apparently it's being suggested that it's a district problem. So, or district activity. So I just wanted to let the improvements committee know that that maintenance took place and where we stand. Any questions on that?
So we were maintaining the ditch and the bridge probably was in our way and was beneficial for us to do it. In any case, is that a correct assumption?
No, it's not. The assumption, the reality was, as part of maintaining the ditch, they had rented an excavator, which is able to, it had the little rubber treads on it. And they were, because they had that piece of equipment handy, they were able to drive it down to where the bridge was and use that equipment to remove the bridge, to destroy it and basically take it apart. So it's one of those while you're at it sort of.
And it wasn't us.
It was not us.
Okay. I'm clear on it. Anything on that, Amelia?
I do have a hand raised. Go ahead, Richard Gears.
Yeah, I just like to say that's a helpful comment. I'd seen some comments and complaints about that, and it's helpful to know what the story is. So thank you.
Very good. Director comments. Marty, anything?
Can you update us on the status of that CIA culvert that was replaced? Is it done? Did it come? Did we spend what we thought we were going to spend? That kind of stuff.
And you're talking about the one by the county access gate off of 16, south of the highway by the river?
Correct. It looks almost done, but I don't know. That's why I asked.
And I don't want to put Paul on the spot, but didn't we hear something about they were going to finish placing rocks in the entry area and then they would be done?
So I asked that question to those rancher folks that were doing the work, and they said they're not, the rocks are placed, but I asked if they were going to concrete that area to hold the rocks in the for any erosion. They said no, they're just going to, it's essentially done. I don't know if they're going to do any road work over the top of that or not. I haven't been involved in those discussions.
And if I believe I was told, and I have notes on it, I believe I was told the district was accountable for about $3,000. I've heard nothing more on that. And I will reach out to the CIA group today and ask them where the invoice is and what the plans are. As you can see, there's a lot of waste. That culvert pipe is kind of piled off to the side. And I'm curious about what their plans are for cleaning that up as well. So I will, Marty, I will make a comment in my general manager's report.
Okay.
Subject.
The other question I had was, we had discussed a while back about coming up with a fee schedule to review RMA's exclusive use permits, and I guess other things maybe too, but is that way out in the future? Is that something we're going to do soon or no?
Could you rephrase the question, please?
We discussed the fact that we're not getting reimbursed to review the RMA's exclusive use permits and that we should be charging somebody for our time. And I'm wondering if is that on the list of things to do, or are we going to do it sooner or later or what?
I can comment on that since I brought up that topic. So at the Architectural Review Committee at the Rancho Murrieta Association, when people do improvements outside of their lot lines, those plans go to the Architectural Review Committee. And then if it relates to, well, actually they're sending all of them over to us from now on. But they send them to us to review as it relates to any potential impacts with drainage, sewer and water. And as I mentioned, RMA has a whole department that is funded through this process. And we're just doing it as kind of a nicety to make sure they don't conflict with our utilities, because in the past, a lot of people would do plantings or improvements over our utilities and cause a lot of problems. And so I mentioned we should probably get reimbursed for our time since it's taking a lot of our time lately. And so that at this point is unfortunately just on a to-do list. I've requested from the RMA what their process is for that, so I could look at that and evaluate how we could formally be in that process, other than I know they send them over to us because I get them piled in my inbox and we have to review that and provide comment back. But I was waiting to get a formal process from them, and I don't know if they actually have one because they haven't yet provided after two emails. But it's on our to-do list at this point, unfortunately.
Have you seen their fee schedule for what they charge?
I have not seen anything formal from the HOA.
I've seen it. It's like a flat fee, if I'm not mistaken. But okay, thanks for the update.
Yep.
Very good, Marty. Thank you. My only comment is to thank everyone for participating this morning, and good job to everybody, staff. Everybody is it's very easy to communicate with this group, and that is much appreciated. So with that, we are adjourned, and thank everyone and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Enjoy the day.